Let's give a quick overview of the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph 21 in Erechin, where we're beginning from this week. And with that, the Mishnah will be very simple. In order, there's a form of collection, a way to force a payment or a collection called a mashkin. Mashkin literally translates as a collateral. Typically, a collateral is something that's given at the time of the loan. However, there is another way. It's basically repossession, where you go and repossess a specific item. This item now serves as collateral. Either you pay up, or I use this item as payment. In order to go through such a payment, it has to go through official bezin, it has to go through a court process in order to collect a mashkin. We call this would be a mashkin that's taken after a person's already obligated to pay. It's not like a typical, you know, when someone goes to a pawn shop and they pawn a piece of jewelry over there, that mashkin, that collateral is taken at the time of the loan. There's another form of mashkin, which we'll be discussing, which is a mashkin that's taken after when there's no payment made. So over there, the debtor has a right to go over to a court, and the court will then appoint someone to collect a mashkin, to collect the collateral to force payment. Otherwise, this collateral will serve as payment on the loan. So we do not, we only take collateral for an obligation between, we'll use the word Hashem and man, between Hekdesh, between the Beis HaMikdash and anyone and someone else, only in a case where we're nervous this person won't pay up. Now, the reasons why someone won't pay up is because they feel like they have an obligation, but they're not receiving anything from Hekdesh. However, if it's necessary for them to make the payment for another reason, in that case, we would not obligate a collateral. So, therefore, the Mishnah says, Chayvei Erech and Mashkin Naisan. If someone says, I will pay my Erech, I'll pay my set value, or I'll pay the set value of someone. So over there, he stands nothing to gain by making a payment other than fulfilling his moral obligation. Therefore, we're allowed to take a mashkin if the gizbar, the Beis HaMikdash, the manager of the Beis HaMikdash, can force this individual to hand over or go and call down a bezin to send an individual to go and take a collateral to help his collection. As opposed to chayvei chatos v'ashamis and mashkin naisan. When we're dealing with chatos and ashamis, two different forms of karbanes that are brought as sin offerings, they're brought in order for a person to receive a kapar, to receive forgiveness for a specific sin. So over there, there is something that the layman stands to gain by making his payment. Since he's obligated to bring a chatos, not only does he have an obligation, but he actually receives something. He receives forgiveness in exchange for his karbon. Therefore, we do not need a mashkin, and we do not allow the Beis HaMikdash to take a mashkin. We do not to force a collateral in order to make the payment, because regardless, this person we know he for sure will pay up because he wants the kapar, he wants forgiveness. Eilis and Shamim. So Eilis and Shamim are just voluntary karbanos brought as almost a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So over there also, he stands nothing to gain, and therefore mashkin naisan. Therefore, we will have a mashkin, we will obligate a mashkin, we'll obligate a collateral in order to force the person to make payment. So that's the end of that part of the mission. Even though a person does not receive the kapara until he wants to give the karpan. So we still have a right to force him until he says yes. So just to try to put this a little bit in perspective, over here the halacha is that if someone takes someone else and pulls out a gun and says, sell me your property, over there he's being forced into the sale. That's kaifinai. So you force him until he says, yes, I want it. So there's two ways. I could pull out a gun and say, hand over your wallet. Or I could pull out a gun and force you into a sale. In the case where I pull out a gun and force you into a sale, so over there also, your consent was not given with full willingness. And therefore, the sale would typically not be valid. Over here, when we're dealing with a karban, we force him. We could, you know, pull out a gun and say, that's it. Or not exactly a gun. You pull out a big bat. You say, that's it. You got to give a karban. And if you don't give a karban, we'll go and beat you up. And over there, he'll say, okay, fine. He'll say, okay, fine, I'll give over the karban. So even though in some way you could view it that he's not really doing it willingly, but Since he says yes, that would be considered enough of a willingness in order to be considered a carbon. So over there by a carbon also, you can't go and grab a carbon from him and say, okay, this is your carbon, and too bad. However, you could go over to him with a big metal bat and say, hand over a carbon, otherwise I'll hit you. And over there, that would be considered, he would be considered willingly handing over the carbon, and therefore the carbon would work. The Rambam, famous Rambam, says regarding this Mishnah, as well as Gittin, also we have a similar concept, that the reason why is because when I pull out a gun and I say, sign on the sale, or pull out a big bat and say, sign on the sale or else. So over there, deep down, the victim doesn't really want to sell the property. And therefore, even if he's saying, okay, fine, I'll sell it, that's only lip service. It's not really showing that his true intent is to sell. As opposed to in a case of a karban, case of mitzvahs, over there, the will of every Jew is to make Hashem happy. And therefore, although he may have other things that are kind of getting in the way, there may be a reason why his perspective is a little bit warped. He doesn't realize what his true willingness is. Over here, by forcing him to say, yes, I do want it, you're not really forcing him to go against what his true will is. You're just forcing him to recognize what he really deep down wants. That's what the Rambam says. So over here also, you could force him until he says, yes, I want it. And in that case, you bring the karban. The Gemara says, Amar Rapapa says, Pa'amim shechayev echatayis. There are times that we find that even by a chayev echatayis, even by a sin offering, there also we take a mashkin, meaning that there are some types of sin offerings that there's no gain almost on the side of the person who brings them. And the other way around, chayev eilis, eilah, which is a voluntary carbon, there also a mashkin nesan. Typically would say, well, listen, since he doesn't really stand to gain, therefore we could take a mashkin, therefore we could take collateral because he won't pay. But there are some types of chayv eilis that are an exception to that rule, and there we do not have a right to take a mashkin because he does stand to gain. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Chayv echatis mashkin neisan. What kind of chatis, what kind of sin offering could you take a mashkin? In which case do we say that he stands nothing to gain, and therefore we're going to use the option of taking a collateral to force him to pay up? That's v'chatas nazir. That refers to a chatas nazir. One of the karbanis that a nazir brings is a chatas. And over there, he's not really bringing it because he did an aver. He's not bringing it because he really did it. He really did some sort of sin. But he still brings a chatas anyway. The reason is discussed in the sechatas nazir. So over there, a chatas nazir, the kivan, the amar mar, since the saying goes, if he takes a haircut, which is the end of the process of nazirus on any of the three karbanis, meaning that a nazir brings three separate karbanis, he brings the eilah, shlam, and chatas. If so long as he brings one of them, then we say, okay, that's it, he's good to go. And so long as you brought the karban, he brought one of the three karbanis, doesn't make a difference which one. And he took a haircut. At that point, he's now good to go. He's no longer a nazir. He's permitted to drink wine. He's permitted to go and become tamei, become impure to a dead corpse. The two halachas that typically apply to a nazir, meaning that the way that a nazir ends his naziris is with three karbanos, chatas, eilah, and shlamim. But so long as he does only one of them, that's good enough to, like, so to speak, be diyaved to make him tahar. So the Gemara says that in our case also, Pasha Bavalei Maisi, then we're nervous that he'll become Pasha, he'll be, you know, negligent about it and not end up bringing it, meaning that in this case he doesn't really need the Chatas. Even without the Chatas, he'll be Tar anyway. Since even without the Chatas, he'll be Tar anyway, and the Chatas isn't really coming on an Avera, the Chatas isn't really coming because he did anything wrong, so he feels like he stands nothing to gain with the Chatas, and therefore you're allowed to take a Mashkin, you're allowed to take collateral to force him to bring his Chatas. Chayve Eilis Eim Mashkin, my son. What kind of eilah offering does he feel like he's gaining off of it, and therefore we are not allowed to use a collateral to force payment? That refers to Ba'ilas Yaledes. That refers to the eilah, the birds brought by Yaledes by a woman who just gave birth. The halacha is that a woman who gave birth is in the status of tuma. She is considered ritually impure until she brings her, we'll see exactly what, until she brings her karbanis at the end of however long it may be. And until that point, she'll remain in some way as ritually impure. That's relevant that she cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash, she cannot eat karbanis. So over here also, the Gemara thinks that she's required to bring a ayla in order to make herself ritually pure. Since she needs that to make herself ritually pure, we're not forced to take collateral, because regardless, we feel like she will feel pressure to bring her ayla anyway. The Gemara asks, Maininu, what tells us that the ayla is what makes her pure again? If you're going to tell me da'akta mekra, if you're going to tell me the reason why is because the ayla is the first karba mentioned, so we see that that's the one that really makes her tahar. Va'amar Rava l'mikra ekte mahakasav. Rava, according to Rashi's pshat at least, is that Rava says that the only thing that that the only reason why it's listed first in the karbanis is only so that way when the balkari gets to it, he should read it first. Meaning that something's got to go first, so we put the ayla there first. But it's not really any greater than the other karbanis, the chatas. So over there, the Gemara says that there's really no significance to the ayla, so she could become tahar with the chatas, not with the ayla. If so, then it comes out that the chatas is not something that's necessary for her entire process. Therefore, the Gemara asks, since it's not necessary, we should be mashkenized, so we should be allowed to take collateral because she might be pasha, she might be negligent and not bring it. The Gemara says, okay, no, change plans. Ela ba'ilas mitzara, rather the early we're referring to that in that case we're allowed to take that we're, in that case we are not allowed to take collateral is the ilas mitzara, the ila of the mitzara. That similarly, the mitzara also, the person with this leprosy-like affliction is required to bring karbanis at the end. And once he brings, until he brings his karbanis, he's in the status of tamei. His status is impure. Once he brings these karbanis, once he brings these offerings, then he will now become tar. He will be considered ritually pure again. So the Gemara says that ayla, the ayla of mitzara, is necessary for his entire process. Without it, he will not be tar, he will not be pure. And therefore, we're not obligated, or we don't feel, we are not allowed to take collateral, because regardless, he will feel pressure to bring it. The Tanya, as the Bryce says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Esh, Rabbi Yehuda ben Breika, Aymer. Rabbi Shmuel is the son of Rabbi Yehuda ben Breika. Apparently, his grandfather's name was Breika. So he said, Keshem shechatasa v'ashame ikvai kachay lasa ikvasai. The same way that it's necessary for him to take his chatas and his asham karban, and without them he will not be pure. Similarly, without his ayla offering, he also will not be pure, and therefore he'll feel pressure. Regardless, we do not take collateral. It's not permitted to take collateral. That's the end of that part, that saying of Rapapa. Let's keep on moving on through the mission of Alpha Visha Emiskapalesha Yisratza. Tanara Abundan, this is difficult in the explanation. We'll just go through a little bit of a cursory view of this Gemara. The pasuk says Yakar Vaisai. It says Yakar Vaisai Milamid. However, it tells you that Shakaifin Aisai, you're allowed to force him. Because Yakar Vaisai, you should bring for him. Yachal Bal Karcha, I would think that would mean that if you could force him, that means that against his will also Tamalim or Lirat Sinai. For that, the pasuk says Lirat Sinai. Okay, it said Kaifin Aisai Achim Meritani. You force him until he says, yes, I want it. That's like that halacha in the Mishnah, that you force someone to say, yes, I want it, by bringing karbanis. Amar Shmuel says, Ayla tzricha das. That Ayla needs das. He needs willingness in order to bring Ayla. Shinamar, as the pasuk says, Liritzayne. The pasuk that we just listed, it says the word Liritzayne according to his will. Therefore, you need das. The Gemara says, my kamash malan. What's the chiddush? Tanina, afal pisha emis kapalesha yitzratza. Shinamar Liritzayne. The Mishnah says by us, even though you can't bring it until he's willing, but still you can force him to say yes. But our mission says explicitly that that he must be willing in order for you to bring the karban. The Gemara says, "Le'tzricha deparsh le'chavre," that the case is that his friend separated for him. So the friend is taking care of a karban for, you know, we'll call him Mr. A is bringing karban for Mr. B. Ma'al detema kibin and das mididei. I would think the only time that Mr. B needs das is when Mr. B brings his own karban. But if Mr. A is bringing karban for Mr. B, I would think that only Mr. A needs to do it because he's the one who's actually bringing the karban, not Mr. B, who the one the karban is being brought for. Kamash Malan, for that, Shmuel said that Ayla Tzricha Das, that even if someone is bringing karban for someone else, still you need das. The Gemara says, Zimin delay nichalei delechaper b'midi delay didei. For that, we say that, no, sometimes the person will think, listen, I want to bring a karban. He has no right to go and, so to speak, steal my mitzvah and bring a karban for me. Don't bring any karbanis for me. You bring karbanis for you. I'll bring karbanis for me. Okay. The Gemara says, may save it. The Gemara now asks, chatasei v'asham, I shall plenty alai. If someone says, I accept to bring the chatas and asham, which are carbonis brought for sin offerings over there. If it's done with willingness, with knowledge of the person who it's being brought for, in that case, yatza. In that case, okay, it's all good. Shalei ladas, if it was done without the knowledge, without the prior consent of the person who it is being brought for, layatza. In that case, you're not yet. If someone accepts to bring karbanis of someone else on him, if it's a ayla or shlamim, bein ladas, bein shalei ladas, yatza. Whether it's with the consent or without the consent of the person who the karban is being brought for, regardless, you're yatza. The Gemara now asks, Shmuel said that you need the consent. Over here, we seem to be saying, by Ayla, if I'm bringing karma for someone else, I do not need consent. The Gemara says, Amalach Shmuel. Shmuel will respond, Ki tanyahi b'shas kapara de'isratz le b'shas afrasha. That case was referring to a case where we already had a previous discussion about bringing a karban. That I discussed with the person I'm bringing it for, can I bring a karban for you? Over there, since we already had the conversation and you already consented to me bringing a karban, now afterwards, at the time of the kapara, the time when I'm actually bringing the karban, over there, we assume that he still is happy with it. When did I, Shmuel, say that you need to receive consent from him? That's b'shas hafrasha. That's at the time when I'm separating the karban to bring the karban, I need to have consent. So without any prior consent, doesn't work. With prior consent, the fact that I don't have consent at the time of the karban, that would be if there was no prior consent. The pliga de ula, this statement of Shmuel argues on ula. Damar ula, ula says, Leichilku ben chatas la'ayla, el shechatas tzrichadas b'shas hafrasha, va'ayla enin tzrichadas b'shas hafrasha. That Ula says that no, the brisa goes like this: the only time that there was a dispute, the only time there was a machlekes was only about the only time that there's a difference between chatas and Ula is only if there was no prior consent. Avol b'shas kapara idi ladas yatzah shlo ladas layatzah. So Ula says that the only time that we find a difference is by shas hafrasha. But by Shas Kapara, both of them Ladas Yatza, Shalei Ladas Lo Yatza. So this is the exact opposite of what Shmuel says. Here, the Gemara, quoting Ula, says that the only time that there's an argument is at the time of the separation. But at the time of the Kapara, in that case, everyone agrees that you need Ladas Yatza, Shalei Ladas Lo Yatza. The Gemara says, Mei Seve. The Brisa says, if I have a chatas and asham, oila orshlam, all four cases, and in that case, ladas yatza shloi das layatza. The Gemara says, Shmuel mukula b'shas hafrasha, uli mukula b'shas kapara. Shmuel will say it's referring to the case b'shas hafrasha, the time of the separation. That over there, everyone agrees that there needs to be consent given at the time of the separation. Ula will say that no, the time of the separation, the only time you need consent is by a ayla, but is only by a chatas. And this brisa is referring to the time of the kapara, the time of the actual bringing of the karban. Amar Rav Papa, the Gemara, Papa said, Mesli danda de leikash habashas kapara habashas hafrasha. Fine, meaning that the two brises, we seem to bring two conflicting brises. We have the brisa, the first brisa brought in the bottom of the last amud. We find the distinction, we find a difference between Ayla and Chatas on the brisa, and the first brisa, and the second brisa. We do not find the difference. The Gemara says that there's no question. Habishas kapara, habishas hafrasha. There it's talking about b'shas kapara, and the other one's talking about b'shas hafrasha, meaning that it's subject to the machlekes between Ula and Shmuel. Ula says that by shas kapara, everyone agrees, the only time that you find a machlekes is by shas hafrasha, and Shmuel says the opposite. The only time that you have a machlekes is by shas hafrasha, by shas kapara, everyone agrees. Avam right, nami like kasha, Shmuel mukula kamaisa b'shas kapara, b'shas b'shas hafrasha, ula mukula epcha. And similarly, the brises do not conflict with Amiram because, like the Gemara spoke out before, as we went through it, that Ula answers the brisa. It seems to not agree with him by making that brisa go b'shas Hafrasha and Shul makes other brayos kol b'shas kapara, everything is solved. The Gemara says, Amarai vadi pliga. But the Amarai, for sure, we're arguing. The Gemara says, Pshito ma'o tema mai b'shas hafrasha l'amar shmul, af b'shas hafrasha, v'ach v'gav t'hach kamay esati yuftei kamash molon. I would have thought to say that Shmuel, that says that you need das b'shas hafrasha, meant even b'shas hafrasha. That means by case of chatas, you need both b'shas hafrasha and b'shas kapara. And by oila, you only need b'shas. You only need b'shas hafrasha. So over there, for that kamash malan, for that he said no. There's a machlokes between Ula and Shmuel, and the reason why is because the brisa does not seem to fit with Shmuel if you were to read like that. Mechem begitei nashem kaifin. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Hai ma'ad the master ma'idah gita." It's a very practical halacha. Someone who gives a ma'idah, which is basically a disclaimer, and then afterwards gives a get ma'idah ma'idah. Then the ma'idah, the disclaimer would serve as being a ma'idah. This is relevant to practical cases of dinei mamonos, practical cases of civil law, as well as by gittin. I can write a document if I'm feeling forced into a sale. I can write a document called a ma'idah. And that document will basically say all future sales are hereby null and void. Essentially alluding to the fact that I'm under pressure, I can't fight back, and therefore I write the Maidah, have it signed by Adam, have it signed by witnesses, and in that case, this new document serves to basically break the future document. This Maidah, someone who gives a Maidah on a get, someone writes a similar thing, I'm being forced into giving a get, over there, the ma'ida is a ma'ida. It does serve as a proper ma'ida, and therefore the get would not work. The Gemara says pshita. Why not? This seems pretty obvious. The Gemara says leitzricha de asua v'irtzi. The case was that they forced him and he agreed. Ma'otem betule batle. I would have thought to say that the ma'ida, he wrote the ma'ida before, but that was only before they forced him. Now that they forced him, now he's got a full gemira stas. Now that he's really under pressure, now he'll say, you know what? I'm disregarding the first ma'ida. Kamash Malan, for that we say, Dimkin listen, Ad Shiyitin, my Ad Shiyayimer Adam Avatal Maida. It should say until he gives a get. What does it say? Until he says, it must mean that until he speaks out expressly that he's being Mavatal all my days. So over here, the Gemara seems to imply that if someone says outright that I will, that all my days, all my does, all disclaimers that I give before are not relevant, that would already overrule, that would kind of break all the previous ma'idah. So I could discount a disclaimer. The Taisus over here brings down a psak. Lefigach nagu ailam, for this reason, there now is a minig. Levatal kol ma'idah ma'idah da'asi migay ma'idah, whatever that means. B'shas ksivas aget, to get rid of all ma'idahs and all ma'idahs of ma'idahs. At the time of the Ksivas Agat of Bishas Nisim, the Cheshin Shalom Bakal Yisai. So therefore, at the time of the get, part of the process of giving a get is a bitul ma'ida. Part of the process is that we make both sides, we make the man's side speak out that he does not have any disclaimers, and any disclaimer that he wrote previously shall not be effective from here on, and that would allow now the get to work definitively, and that's the minig that's done by Gittin, and also similarly by Batei Dinim. Sometimes there are documents signed before the Bezdin that you're agreeing to the Psak Bezdin on their specific cases, and they're also a properly written written document will have written at the end that there's a bitul ma'idah, that we do not allow any ma'idahs to go out against this, and by agreeing to the Din Torah, then you're agreeing that all ma'idahs should not be effective. All right, we'll stop here for this week.